ABC Radio Australia.
Auckland councillor for Anana Efesa Collins, who is of Samoan and Tokelauan descent, recently shared an extraordinary story during his church service. 6 weeks ago, a bomb threat was made against him and his family, with the threat being so serious, a bomb squad went through his house to ensure their safety. He told me it's been an incredibly difficult time for him and his family, but says he's now ready to share his story.
Well, the police called me on a Sunday morning as we were preparing for church to advise me that they needed to speak to me immediately. So look, I live in a small apartment in Otahu in South Auckland. And so I told them that my girls were home, and if it was quite significant, I wouldn't want them to overhear what was going on. And it was at that point we met at the local police station, and they advised me that there had been a bomb threat against me. And I don't know that I listened too well the rest of the two-hour interview that I had with the police after that stage. I think internally there was a deep sense of shock and sadness and probably heartbreak, if I could be honest, Marla, because all I could think about was my family. And I have two young daughters, and they were foremost in my thinking at the time. And I think it was dealing with the shock of the fact that the bomb threat had been made against me, and eventually they had escalated it to the point where they were going to check my office. I work in three different locations in Auckland, as well as come to our house. So, yeah, really disconcerting for our family, and the days that followed, it was kind of hard to see through the day. It was quite perplexing over the next following days.
And no doubt there, your family was at the forefront of your mind as all of this was playing out. How are they doing now?
We're doing okay, thanks. My wife is a very strong woman. She's Samoan, and she was naturally pretty upset by everything. She was also quite angry. And I think for my wife and I, we thought, you know, both of us are adults now. If people want to engage in pretty harsh conversations, they can do that with us directly. We're always open to talk. Our fear existed around the safety of our daughters. And yeah, it's taken a while, but we can talk about it now. I haven't told anyone, but there was a night only last week where we were doing our evening prayers. And my eldest daughter, who's 8, prayed for these people and said, ask the Lord to help them to understand that we don't try and make people angry. And if they're feeling upset, to help them to no longer be upset. I think that probably shows the heart in which our family have, embraced what's happened, taken on board what's happened. But yeah, they're doing okay. My daughter, my eldest daughter at least, she's 8. My younger one is only 16 months. And my 8-year-old often asks me, Dad, why do people get so angry, and why would they want to hurt you or hurt us? And so to be honest, Marla, I'm not sure how to describe what it has felt like over the last couple of weeks having that kind of a discussion in our house. It's the most bizarre feeling. It feels like it doesn't belong. It's almost wrong, I feel, to have this kind of a discussion with my girl. But she knows what's happened. She's aware of it. And, you know, she's had people at school ask her about it as people have started to find out about what happened. And so it's hard on her too. And so we're really looking out for our girls' well-being to make sure that they're feeling safe and secure.
Now, you've also said that the experience made you question your place in politics as well. Why is that? Can you talk me through what was going through your mind in terms of whether or not you wanted to continue as a councillor and in the position that you are?
I think the truth of the matter is my confidence has taken quite a hammering. And when I reflect on the conversation I had with the police about 6 weeks ago, the feeling of the safety and well-being of my family started to really bubble in my heart. I think the dad hat was probably the foremost hat that I was thinking about, dad and husband. And that's what I am to my family. And I felt an overwhelming sense of guilt. And especially as time progressed, I felt an overwhelming sense of guilt that I was responsible for the potential harm that could come on my family. And sorry, Marla.
No, that's okay. Take your time.
And as a result of that, I felt that if this office and this particular platform was going to bring harm on my family, then it wasn't worth it. And I think that's why my confidence and my sense of security for my family has taken quite a hammering. That's why I've spent quite a bit of time with my wife searching our own desire to be in public office, because at the root of everything we do, we're thinking about our girls who are young, beautiful girls who are also brown and Samoan. And we acknowledge that that means if we're going off the data that's in front of us, they start behind everybody else. And our desire in life is to ensure that our girls have a fair start, have an equitable start and access to everything in life. And yeah, that's where the confidence has taken a bit of a battery.
Through these conversations you're having with your wife and your family, you both have decided to continue to push for the betterment of Pacifica people and for you to continue your role as counsellor. You know, having been through what you had through, how significant is that decision that you and your wife came to in terms of continuing on?
Yeah, well, it's one I feel like we're making every day, because the truth of the matter is there'll be times in the day where I feel the same level of doubt again. And over the last 4 weeks in particular, I feel like I've gone on this roller coaster ride emotionally and psychologically, because we, Fia and I, Fia's my wife, we know that this is more than just an occupation. For us, it's a call, and we want to honour God in our call. We want to honour our community and our family. And I don't think we felt that this would ever hit a hurdle or a wall like this. And so it's taken us quite a bit of time to work through this, to have ongoing check-in discussions. When we're out and about, I often stop and I might give her a call. We're texting a whole lot more when we're apart. And that's because those doubts have really risen. And so the discussion has been ongoing. We know that this is something we want to see through. There's another year left in the term. And we hope that the representation that we offer and advocacy we offer for many people in South Auckland who are challenged, who are doing it really tough, our prayer is that people recognise that level of advocacy. And you know, we've been so encouraged by the support that we've received, especially in the last 24 hours when the story became public. We've had really strong family and close friend support of those people who knew at the outset that we confided in. And we've been really blessed at the outpouring of support. And this is coming from people both in South Auckland and those people who disagree with a lot of what I'm saying, but are encouraging us to stand strong, because it's important that all the discussions we have in public life are robust and honest.